This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Ruffled Feathers, your Two Birds on a Bat podcast. As always, coming to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Pre- or post-game, Patio's is the place to meet. And, of course, special thanks go out to our good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, Randy's got you covered. Don't forget, first responders and military always get that 15% discount off the total project cost. So if you've got something you've been wanting to do, now's the time. Heating and cooling, electric, and of course, construction, innovativecompanies.com. Well, folks, I'm going to get back to some Cardinal history today, only because I don't know about you, but like right now, I spend a lot of time online doing this, that, watching things. And don't get me wrong, I think like some of the networks that are playing some of the past Cardinal games is awesome. Like I'm enjoying the hell out of it. Like right now, the 1982 Cardinals are on. I say it all the time, be happy that you have such a great franchise that that we have this stuff. Without question, though, some of my funnest times so far in this quarantine, I guess, have been the memories of people that have went through some of these great moments in Cardinal history. And it's a lot of fun to talk about because for different people, it happened at different points of their lives. For some of you out there, the 1982 and 1985 Cardinals, you weren't even thought of at the time, you know, and it just is what it is, but it still is the history of your club. I mean, you know, thinking back to, you know, all the yesteryears of all the great things that happened in Cardinal baseball before I was born doesn't mean that I can't appreciate it or don't love the fact that it happened. It happened with my favorite franchise. So basically then I feel like I own it as history. Now, I always say though, you got to own the good with the bad, right? So, you know, own it, wear it, do what you got to do. I will say, the 1980s, Steve-O and I have talked about it numerous times. It shaped our fandom for Cardinal baseball. It was right about that time where you become extremely impressionable. You're getting, you know, your brain's developing, so you remember more things, and you're, the word impressionable is what it is. And for me, the impressionable part obviously started with Whitey Herzog coming in, taking over the Cardinals, and it was such a big shakeup of the things that he did that it made them, let's face it, it made them notable, right? Like they were already a classic franchise. But Whitey Herzog came in here and just turned this thing upside down. Did some things that weren't popular, did some things that were popular, endeared himself to the fans, and took a style of baseball called Whitey Ball and took it to a whole nother level. The 1982 Cardinals were awesome, loved it. It was an amazing time. But I got to tell you, the team that my favorite team was probably the 1985 Cardinals, and we're going to talk about the National League Championship Series today because it was, you talk about having everything you need for the excitement. I mean, it was nonstop, awesome, like just awesome things happening. It was so good. And if you look at it and break it down, it takes you back to a different time in baseball. Let's face it. And it feels like it was forever ago. There's also a part of me that feels like it was yesterday. I had an interesting conversation with my cohort in crime before this, and something that I find is just unbelievable to me because it shows my age versus his a little bit. But let's welcome in to hear his own version of this, Ron Nuttall. Ron, what's going on?
Hey, Jim. Great topic that you picked. And as I was telling you before we went on, this was the year I kind of broke into baseball as a fan. and I followed it from beginning to end. I do believe it was my first trip to Busch Stadium that year. I was 9 years old. And yeah, it was the first time I ever cried over baseball. The Cardinals went back to their road gray uniforms. Vince Coleman won Rookie of the Year. He's MVP. And the best stat of all of that year is they were 14-4 against the Cubs. Amazing year.
You love that, too, with your team of rivals that you do. So that's good stuff. I mean, there's so many interesting things when you look at the overview of the Cardinals that year. And, you know, I was a guy, like, obviously, Ozzie Smith coming to the Cardinals and the things that he did were exciting. They were just uber exciting. The 1982 Cardinals were an exciting team. Okay. You know, add in Willie McGee and then Lonnie Smith and I loved Tommy Herr. I mean, it was just a great team. Kenny Obergefell. I mean, it was so much fun to watch that team compete. You get to the 1985 team, and by this time they have added who became my favorite. Like, I loved Jack Clark. I loved home runs from the time I was a kid. It was always home runs, home runs, home runs. When we played cork ball, wiffle ball, you know, two-man ball. You can't call it what it used to be called anymore, but whatever it was, left field ball, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it was always trying to hit home runs for me. I enjoyed it. I loved it. I was infatuated with it. You know, we had a makeshift field at Harris School down in Madison where I grew up, and it was perfectly designed. It was a multi-purpose recess area from the school. You could turn it four different ways. Like, you didn't physically turn it, but you could go in the four different corners and do something, and it changed the dimensions, and it was awesome. But we could play cork ball, and we kept track of home runs. And at the end of the summer, it was, I mean, who was the home run leader? Like, always around July 4th, we would have bottle rockets, and if somebody hit a home run, we'd shoot off bottle rockets. I mean, it, like, infatuated with home runs. Well, Jack Clark, the Cardinals didn't have home run hitters until Jack Clark come along. And it was like, here we go, right? So that team, to me, now that year, Jack Clark wound up not hitting as many as he had in other years. He was hurt, which, unfortunately, Clark probably lost a lot of home runs to injuries. But he was a different kind of player. But it went in well. It was almost like, here's all these thoroughbreds, and let's just put Jack Clark right in the middle of it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I will say this, too. Also, my most underrated player from that group was Terry Pendleton. Terry Pendleton was so damn good, man. He was so good.
He was. I mean, and throughout the back half of the 80s, you know, he was until he departed for Atlanta. But, yeah, the defense was spectacular. You know,
so good.
Put him up there with anybody. And, then, you know, he wasn't a power threat, but he did have power. He would get – I don't have his numbers in front of me, but it felt like he was always somewhere maybe touched double digits a few times. But he was always a good situational – a hitter and a player from my memory, from what my memory recalls. So, yeah, he was one of my favorites for sure and underrated. I agree.
Because, you know, I mean, let's face it, 1982 Cardinals, they win the World Series, you know, everything's, you know, doing what's it. And when they traded Kenny Obergefell, I was not happy. Like, I was pissed off. You know what I mean? Because he was our guy. You know what I mean? And so I wasn't happy, you know, but I quickly became happy. And from there, you know, it kind of went on. But that's okay. You know, I will say this. I will say the Kenny Obergefell trade was my first experience of being upset over a guy leaving. And it was probably because of the 1982 team, right? Like he was part of a World Series and now we traded him and I was pissed off because I didn't understand how it worked, right? But you know, Terry Pendleton comes along, and as we learn, as we are fickle, right? Like, all of a sudden, I forgot about Kenny Obergefell, and I know that's a crime, and I shouldn't do that. But what an exciting team. So just to cover some things that I think – we talked about it being a different era of baseball. And before we get into the highlight of the show, which is that playoff series because of the amazing thing that's happened, a couple things that stand out to me, and I'm sure this isn't rocket science. These would stand out to anybody right now, right? Vince Coleman. 110 stolen bases. So here's my thing, okay? Vince Coleman that year hit .267, okay? He had 170 hits. He had 50 walks. He had 110 stolen bases.
That's incredible.
He had, here's what's interesting to me, and this is what I find, like, so he had 20 doubles.
Yeah.
Think about if you were to take those 110 stolen bases now, because nobody does that anymore. But he stole third base a lot too, right? I think. So I'm almost sure, like, I don't have the stat in front of me, but I know he stole second and third a lot. But man, imagine a guy stealing so many bases that every time he gets on first base, he winds up on second base. The difference that it makes being at second base versus first base in today's game, for sure. So I'm just, like, the people that don't understand the importance of the stolen base really shocks me, to be honest with you. Now, people will say, well, you know, the problem, Jim, is that if you told me that you were going to steal 110 bases and be successful a certain percent of the time, I'd be okay with it. It's stealing bases when guys, you know, don't, and I understand that. But, you know, 110 stolen bases. I mean, right. Willie McGee stole 56 bases and was a distant second. I mean, not even close. 56 stolen bases right now would lead the league almost. I mean, it's insane.
So, it looked like a typo when you're looking at this. You're like, that can't be right. And lo and behold, I mean, that whole team, you had Andy Van Slyke, 34.
Austin he stole 34 bases. That's the one that I think's interesting. Andy Van Slyke stole 34 bases. Not that Andy Van Slyke was slow, but, you know, I mean, Ozzie Smith, 31. You know, Tommy Herr, 31. Terry Pendleton, 17. I mean, they were running. You know what I mean? Jack Clark, they were running. So that's the thing. And then on the flip side of it, right, I find these numbers interesting. Jack Clark leads the team with 22 homers. A distant second was Andy Van Slyke with 13, followed by Willie McGee at 10, Daryl Porter at 10. I mean, shit, Tom Nieto had 253 at-bats and didn't hit a home run. Vince Coleman, one home run. Ozzie Smith, 6 home runs. You know, Terry Pendleton, 5 at that juncture. He's young. But that stuff's interesting to me, you know, how the game has changed. Remember Cesar Cedeño hit 6 home runs in a very limited time after the Cardinals trade. They traded for Cesar after Jack Clark got hurt, correct? Was that right?
I think so, and they get him from Houston?
I believe. He may have. Cesar Cedeño.
I'd have to look that up.
Cesar Cedeño. I just remember Cesar Cedeño coming in and filling in for Clark. Yes, I believe it was Houston. Cincinnati. He was in Houston for the majority of his career. We traded for him. That's right. We got him from Cincinnati. And he came over here and in 28 games hit 6 home runs and did a fine job filling in for Mr. Clark when he was hurt. I will say, you know, if you look at that team, though, the pitching had some unbelievable stories as well, right? Like, I would have to imagine the John Tudor thing that year was, I mean, how does that shit happen? You know what I mean? That's an amazing thing to talk about with John Tudor. I believe, didn't he win like 18 straight games or something? Wasn't it something like that?
It was something like that. Yeah, I think so. And he was, you know, I'm obviously biased here, but I just felt he deserved that Cy Young that year so much more than, that's not taking anything away from Dwight Gooden. He was phenomenal as well. But boy, I just thought the overall body of work, I was disappointed that he didn't get Cy Young that year.
Well, I think he started to see, and again, listen, I don't want to have the discussion with anybody about wins and losses don't matter and all that kind of shit, but let me tell you something. So let me give you some John Tudor stuff. Here's his lines, okay, from the beginning of the season. So he has an ERA through May of 3.74. And he is 1-7. He's 1-7 with a 3.74 ERA. He actually had an ERA under 3 through the middle of May. Then he proceeds, starting in June, to go like 20-1. Yes, 20-1 the rest of the year with an ERA that winds up under 2.
Yep, 1.96.
That's called
21-8.
He went from a 3.74 to got it all the way down to 1.93 and went 20-1. So don't tell me that wins don't matter, because he did it. He was throwing shutouts, giving up one run. Here, I'm going to go through it. I think this is worthy, to be honest with you, because I think this is amazing. Here's his starts, how many earned runs he gave up. 2-0-1-2-0-2-0-1-0-3-0-2-2-0-1-3-0-3-0-0-0. By the way, 10 innings, 0-4-5-0-0-1. So don't tell me it doesn't matter, because it does. Pretty impressive. Here, how about this? This is just as impressive. These are innings pitched. This is his whole season. Okay? Whole season. 9, 8, 3, 6, 9, 7, 4, 6, 6.2, 6, 5, 9, 8.2, 8, 9, 7.1, 9, 9, 9, 5, 9, 8.1, 9, 9, 8, 7, 7, 6.2, 9, 9, 10, 6, 5, 9, 10, 9. Those are innings pitched. Different time, different era. For sure. What an amazing season by John Tudor. Like, unbelievable. And I don't think he could break a pane of glass.
No, he's crafty, right? I mean, he had good control, and he had, what's amazing, he had 10 shutouts that year and 14 complete games. I mean, he just rattled off the numbers. You just don't see that very often.
Unbelievable. Like, the whole thing to me, unbelievable. Who did win the Cy Young that year? Gooden?
It was Gooden. It's impressive. He was runner-up to Gooden, but he was also eighth in MVP voting.
Interesting. Well, it was a fun team to watch. There's no doubt about it. But today we got to talk about two of probably the greatest moments, in two of the top moments in Cardinal history that happened on back-to-back days, following one of what I thought was going to be one of the worst moments in Cardinal history. And before we get into that chat, let's make sure you guys remember to check us out at twobirdsandabat.com, where we're going to ask you to click subscribe to the podcast. Takes 30 seconds and it's free. Find us on our social media sites at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Follow us there. Go to Facebook, type in Two Birds and a Bat. Make sure you've liked our page. When you see the pinned post, like it, comment on it, and share it, please. It helps us reach Cardinal fans all over the place that otherwise may not see the stuff. Instagram, Two Birds and a Bat Show, and of course at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. Special thanks, as always, goes out to our partners. We couldn't do the show without them. Guys, Adam's Smokehouse, currently closed. Hopefully, a couple weeks from now, they'll be open, and I want to see that line around the door waiting to get some of that great barbecue. I'd be curious to see what Mike and his staff have in store for us when they get back open, as I'm getting excited about some barbecue, and I know you are as well. Located on Watson Road, we'll see what their hours are going to be when they get rolling again, but I know you'll hear it here first, whether it's through this or social media, but we're here to support the people that support us. That's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Learn more about their four-pillar system. And don't forget, on Monday night, you can learn more about their program and this wonderful game of baseball with GBA TV. You can go to Gators Baseball Academy on Facebook. Make sure you like their page. And every Monday night at 7, they have Gators TV. They talk to college coaches, trainers, parents, kids, and just talk about this wonderful game of baseball that everybody's missing right now. Learn more about them at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. DrKristenJacobs.com, Ooh La La Spa, Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. Learn more about her and the wonderful things that she does for everybody, whether, you know, in her community or all over the world, that reach out to her for her help. She reminds you that every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day, so get outside, enjoy this time, take care of yourself, but take care of your skin. DrKristenJacobs.com. 1985, buddy. I'm telling you, like, the playoffs, like, of course, the first thing when you say 1985 Cardinals, Ron, is when I say 1985 Cardinals, you think what?
I think the heat is on was the theme.
Yeah, it's a good call. Okay. All right. Okay. Like that was my Frank Cusimano, like, no hedging. So 1985 it's like, yeah, that's one of those things where somebody says, what's the first thought that pops into your head? Like instantly, like somebody did this to me a long time ago, like when we were messing around with this, and this is why I know what it's like. 1985 was one of those times where like when somebody does that to you, okay, quick, 1985, what do you think? In the matter of like 2 seconds, like 100 images roll through your head, right? It's amazing. It's so hard to think. I can't pick one. Like, this is the hardest thing. Like, if you were to, let's get right to it, right? The two most amazing things that happened back-to-back days, Ozzie Smith wins the game, hitting a left-handed home run at Busch Stadium. And, of course, we all go crazy, folks, go crazy, right? And then the next day, they pitch to Clark and he homers and they go to the World Series. I mean, like, I can't, like, if you ask me, I just told you I love Jack Clark. Right. Like I loved it. And I and the whole thing for me is when Jack Clark hits it and almost rounds first and he's almost looks like he's going to go into the Cardinal dugout and he's looking at him. And God, to this day, I want to know what he says to him. And I think the next time I talk to him, I'm going to ask him. I always forget. But God darn it. It was cool, man. And watching Pedro Guerrero throw his glove on the ground. But then you go back to Busch Stadium. The place is going crazy. Ozzie Smith, of all people, hits a left handed home run. And this all follows game four. Game four, Cardinals, you know, a lot of people don't realize Cardinals were down 0-2.
Yep.
They win game three, yeah, so you think, okay, we're back in this, and then the news comes out before game four. I remember it like it was yesterday. On the news, you know, we break live to Busch Stadium, and I remember thinking it was a joke. I remember thinking that Vince Coleman being taken off the field on a stretcher was a joke. Because I thought, how in the world do you get run over by your tarp? And for me, all hope was lost. All hope was lost. But somehow,
I don't know how fast that hydraulic thing worked when that tarp came up from the ground. But
I'm like, he's pretty fast. How'd the tarp run him over?
I don't know.
I was like, oh my God. I don't know.
You gotta remember too, Jim. When they went down 0-2, they went down in pretty convincing fashion too. It was 4-1, and then game two, Dodgers, you know, took it to them, 8-2 as the final, and we went through our two best pitchers at that point, and the Dodgers beat both of them. I thought it was going to go in a totally different direction. And if you look over across the other league, I think the Blue Jays had the Royals down 2-0 as well, so. We were looking at a Blue Jay Dodger World Series. At least that's what's happening in my head.
Yeah, it was not good. You know, like it was like, holy cow, what is going on here? But you know that game three. I mean, you know, if you're going to sit here and say it's a must win game, well, of course it's a must win game, right? But you know, the whole thing for me that day was, you know, Danny Cox was on the mound, and you really felt like. You know what? Danny Cox is on the mound. Like, we're not losing this game. Bob Welch was good pitcher, but, you know, like you said, he wasn't there 1-2. And you thought, okay, we're going to do this. And then, you know, he goes out. You know, it's like, what is going on here? And then he gets out of the first inning. Because, I mean, it was like, what's going on? Because, you know, they right off the bat, I think, had second and third, nobody out. Didn't get the run home. The intentional walk to Guerrero, and they get a line out and a ground out and don't score a run. And then we promptly come up and we're rolling and we've got first, second. I remember this too. Like, you know how things piss you off. I'll never forget this. So Coleman gets picked off. Coleman actually gets picked off at second base and then winds up scoring on like, I think it was a total cluster screw up, cluster F of a play. So we wind up getting a run and then like, and then we wind up scoring some more runs and they didn't play very well that game. Like it was a messed up deal, but somehow we take the lead. And when we gave Danny Cox those runs, I thought, you know what, we're not going to lose this game. And we wound up winning it. I think 4-2, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, Danny Cox pitched a hell of a game for us and gave the Cardinals a really good chance to win. So I felt good about that. And going into game four, you know, I remember thinking, you know what, you know, we're going into game four. I think the Cardinals have as good a shot in this game to get this thing back because Jerry Royce was pitching for him, who I didn't think was that great at the time. And we had John Tudor coming back. So I thought, you know what? We're going to win this game. And then we're going to be right back in this series. And then the tarp thing happened, and I thought, oh, God, we're going to lose. So I don't know. It was not good. Not a good time, but the Cardinals somehow managed to get through it.
Yeah, I don't recall a lot from games 3 and 4 other than the news. Of course, they were on. Of course, I was watching them. I don't know. Neither one of those games had that moment, that memorable moment. It's kind of like, game 4 of the 2011 World Series. I don't remember much from it. I remember the next day when the dugout phone malfunctioned on the roof and brought somebody in, I believe, to do whatever. But, I don't recall a whole lot. That's why I really had to go back and look at some of those filler games, right? Because I just don't remember much from them. The big event happened the very next day, and I don't know where you were, Jim, when that one happened, but actually didn't physically see that because I believe I was going from Leah Grant's parents' house to home. I heard him on the radio call live. So I heard the call. I heard the Jack Buck call live, and I caught it later. I couldn't watch a highlight until I think it was nighttime when sports played on the news. So where was ESPN when you needed it? But it was a pretty special day. So I think they might have played a replay from it by the time I got home. But that was a pretty cool thing to hear Jack Buck say, and that's the memory that really sticks out for game 5 for me.
Well, it was an early start, it was an early start, game 5 was. I will say this, the thing that was cool about game 4 before we get away from game 4, I remember being so upset over the Vince Coleman thing, and I remember thinking, Tito Landrum was fine, but I thought, and that big inning that we had, Tito Landrum got 2 hits in that inning to score runs. And I remember thinking, we're going to be fine. When you're a kid, it's amazing how fickle you are, right? Like, Tito Landrum, he's my new favorite player. I think he wound up Tito Landrum had a great game that game, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he did. He got another hit later on he got another hit that scored a run. I mean, I just remember thinking, we're going to be fine. But it is amazing how fickle you are. But, yes, game 5. Just being honest with everybody, like, what a baseball game. Underrated guy that winds up taking care of business at the end. I always thought Bob Forrest was a little underrated as a Cardinal pitcher. I didn't think he got his just due. When you look at that game and how the thing really played itself out, I will say that, Fernando Valenzuela, if you lived through that time, and Pedro Asensio, our friend, can really tell you about it, but what an amazing pitcher he was. And it was a pitcher's duel, no doubt. And, who blinked? Obviously Madlock hit the home run as we were up 2-0, and a pitcher's duel really between Forrest and Valenzuela that went back and forth. But, Kenny Daly was a good pitcher for the Cardinals in too. And, you're looking at guys throwing 2-3 innings of relief. Todd Worrell, multiple innings of relief. And then Jeff Lottie. Mm-hmm. There's a name, Jeff Lottie. But the Tom Niedenfuhr thing, Tom Niedenfuhr was pretty damn good. And the whole Ozzie Smith thing was, I don't remember for sure, but there was something about Ozzie Smith maybe had only hit one other left-handed home run. Is that right? Or was it something like that?
I don't want to go as far as to say I'm 100% sure that was his first left-handed home run.
It was either like his first or second or something. It was something improbable. It was really improbable, whatever it was.
Right, exactly.
And that made it.
And that probably, I don't recall the dimensions, but I know right down the line it was a pretty short porch because those outfield walls kind of did not an angle, but a kind of a sharp curve.
I don't think it was short though. It wasn't. No, it was still
hit off the pillar. Yeah, hit off the pillar.
You know what's amazing about it too? This is what I love most. So this is why history is great, right? So obviously we have something great like Baseball Reference to do this stuff. But when you go in here and you go through the play-by-play, it is described as Ozzie Smith, home run, deep right field. That's what it says. So, and guess what? We will say it. So, yes, Cardinals beat Niedenfuhr, and you're like, okay, we're going back to L.A., and now we're up as we won all 3 games at home, 3-2. But, here we go. Got to head back to town there, and we're going to have ourselves a dandy with Hershiser and Andujar. And, you talk about a back-and-forth game that takes us, into a situation where, you think things are going well, and then all of a sudden Cardinals find themselves down 4-1. And then, typical Cardinal baseball, You know, you think, man, Oral Hershiser's up 4-1. No way we're going to do this. And then it's just single. Tito Landrum again, single. You know, Steve Braun moves him over. Base hit by Willie McGee. Triple by Ozzie Smith. There's Ozzie again. And before you know it, we're tied 4-4. And you think, okay, here we go. Todd Worrell comes into the game. And you're like, you know, and everybody liked Todd Worrell then, right? Big, imposing guy. Comes in the seventh. In the eighth inning, he gives up, you know, he comes in for his second inning, gives up a home run to Mike Marshall, and you're like, damn it, you know. And then that sets the stage for the ninth inning, which, you know, for me, I just remember them, you know, Todd Niedenfuhr pitched against in that game, right? They brought him in this game. He's in his third inning of work, right? I mean, he's in his third inning of work, and the Cardinals start just mounting up against him, right? Nobody else comes in to pitch. So I ask you, you know, the big thing that's made to this day is Lasorda in the dugout trying to decide to pitch, and Vince Scully does a great job. I'm going to pitch to that so-and-so. I got to tell you, I don't know how the hell you pitched to Clark. And I loved Andy Van Slyke, one of my favorite players. Like, I was so crushed when he got traded and loved him when he was in Pittsburgh. But God dang, there is no way I'm pitching to Clark there, are you?
No, not at all. I mean, especially, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, wasn't there a base open?
The first base was open.
Yeah, I mean, and you have Andy Van Slyke, that game went 0-5. I get it. Maybe he didn't want to pitch, you know, right-hander to left-hander, but it's Jack Clark. Yeah. Why would you pitch to a cleanup hitter on another team? So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it was a pride thing.
Well, I mean, he struck out Clark. He struck out Clark in the seventh. You know, he struck him out in the seventh inning. Struck out Andy Van Slyke in the seventh inning. You know, I don't know. I mean, first pitch too. I remember where I was. I 100% remember where I was when it happened. It was a 2 o'clock start out there, you know, our local, I just remember it like it was yesterday. I mean, I had gotten home from school, late, you know, I just remember watching it, laying on my bed, watching. And I mean, when he hit the homer, and I remember just losing my mind because Jack Clark was, like I said, he was my favorite player. So I don't know, man. For me, the 1985 Cardinals. And then, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because we obviously are going to cover it. But, you know, for that team to lose the way they did in the World Series, you know, that whole thing with Denkinger is a discussion for another day. But that team was one of my – I don't know about you, but the 1985 teams is up there as one of my favorite teams.
You know, it would be right there with me too, mostly because that was year one for me. Really, as a fan, I had an awareness of baseball playing Little League. I know my dad followed it. I remember my dad and his brother cussing at the TV because the only games that were on TV the year before were when they played the Cubs. Those, you know, the Cubs had the WGN network that carried all their games. So, unfortunately, we didn't have access like we do today. But I didn't know why they were getting so why are they yelling at the TV? Baseball. And right. Then I found out next year how important it was when I kind of got a little older and I became way worse than they were.
Team.
You know, don't know how they managed to not take that, but those are my two favorite teams though.
I will say this. You know, we're short on time today, and I think we have a great question. A great question that I want to get to, but I will say this. The 1985 Cardinals, The Heat Is On was great. I love the fact that we've been able to associate songs with certain teams and stuff like that, but, you know, the whole thing, like, it was, again, it was an impressionable time for me. You know, I was a sophomore in high school? I was either a sophomore or junior, I don't remember, but, yeah, I was a sophomore. And I just remember thinking to myself, you know, this is awesome. No, I was a junior. It was the beginning of my junior year. So, I just remember thinking to myself, how does it get any better than this? You know what I mean? Like, the Cardinals are great. They won the World Series in 82. They're going to win it again in 85, and Whitey Herzog's the greatest. Which leads me to, we got time for one question on the Patterson Tire and Service text line. I've been saving this one because with our history, somebody had sent this in. I think this is an unbelievable question, and it's a thought. So let's go to our Patterson Tire and Service text line. They're a whole lot more than a tire store. They also specialize in automotive repair. But you can give them a call at 618-797-6711, and they can talk about a quick quote on brakes or tires or talk to you a little bit about what might be wrong with your car. But you got to take it into 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois, and let them check it out. They'll take care of any issues that you have. Been in their community for over 40 years. Great family-owned business that's been taking care of their community. They are set up now to be as safe as possible about getting your car in and getting it fixed. So give them a call and talk to them about their procedures. 618-797-6711. Again, that's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. This is a great question. Hey, guys, love the Cardinal talk for history. I was a huge Whitey ball guy. Question, if the Cardinals win the World Series in 85, how much sooner does Whitey Herzog get into the Hall of Fame? I think that's an unbelievable question. Do you think if Dinkinger doesn't blow that call, Whitey gets in a whole lot sooner than it took?
You would have to think so. Why not? I think that would have helped it along quicker, sure.
I mean, obviously 87, like if they would have won in 85 and 87, I think that's a no-brainer. But dominance in the 80s and their style of play, I think one more World Series would have really moved up the time frame. I think a lot of people in St. Louis that really appreciated Whitey thought he should have been in, right? But I remember when I worked at AB, Whitey would be in our suite quite a bit. I mean, he had carte blanche, right? Like he'd sometimes would just stop by, say hi to people, sit around, have a beer, talk baseball. And there were numerous times I found myself sitting next to him during a day game or something, you know, and just the nicest guy. And, you know, one of the thing legends about Whitey is he would answer a question by answering 100 questions. And then he would always say, well, that way I don't have to listen to everybody ask me questions all day. I basically already answered all your questions. He was great about telling stories, but you know what? Like people would ask him about the Hall of Fame and it mattered to him. And it did bother me that he didn't get in sooner, but he is in, and that's all that matters. And for us as a group, I guess we can just be happy that we had the 1985 Cardinals. So, Ron, I know I know we're getting out of here kind of fast today, but I do appreciate you as always and your contributions to our show. I got to bounce, just work stuff going on with everything that's going on out in the communities right now. So I want to thank everybody for joining us. Don't forget, check us out at twobirdsandabat.com. Find us on our social media sites at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter, Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. Guys, when you go to twobirdsandabat.com, we ask that you click subscribe to the podcast, and that'll take care of us. But for myself and Ron, I want to thank you guys for joining us this week. Don't forget about our partners, Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more in a tire store. Our friend, DrChristianJacobs.com, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, and of course, they'll be back soon, the best barbecue in St. Louis. That's our friends at Adam Smokehouse. St. Louis, here's your cue. We do come to you from the patio studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. And as always, special thanks to my friend and yours, Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. For both of us here at Ruffled Feathers, let's go Birds!
Go Birds!